Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, October 24th, 2012, the home of our show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, and the station's website also live streaming at kvoi.com, and you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere in the world by visiting buckmastershow.com. The show is also posted every afternoon to TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com. Plus, there are links to the show on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun at GVNews.com. And Blog for Arizona also has us at BlogForArizona.com. We're live noon to one each weekday. We'll get things rolling today with a conversation with Scott Stewart, chairman of the Pima Community College Governing Board. 30 minutes past the hour, LD10 Republican Todd Clodfelter joins us. He's in a four-way race for two seats in the Arizona legislature. Then 45 minutes past the hour, fascinating new research from a University of Arizona doctor on depression and evolution. Could being a bit depressed actually help you to ward off infection? We will talk about that fascinating research. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line, or you can submit questions on our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster. Well, this Friday afternoon from 3:30 to 5 at the Sam Lena South Tucson Library Branch on South 6th Avenue, Pima Community College will be holding a public forum on the future of the college. There will also be three more sessions planned in November on all of this. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Scott Stewart. Mr. Stewart, chair of the Pima Community College Governing Board. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Bill. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. These are important sessions. One of them has already been held. There's the one Friday, then there's one November 5th, one on the 7th and the 28th. But is this really just an opportunity for people to come out and say, hey, we've got some ideas. We want you to hear them.
Yes. Every 3 years or 2 years, depending on what the issues facing the college are, we develop a plan for the next period of time, the next things that we're going to work on and try to improve about the college and how it interacts with the community. And those have proven fruitful in the past, and we want to continue doing that in the future. A lot of colleges don't have a planning process like this, where you have actual specific goals that you want to achieve and people who are accountable for achieving them. And then every year we go out and review the plan with media and say, here's what we accomplished and here's what we didn't.
To what degree, Scott, is the Pima brand been tarnished after the series of, at least from Pima's point of view, negative high-profile stories, including stories about the former chancellor and most recently the overbilling by a Tucson law firm that represents the college?
I don't know. I think it's been hurt some, but by and large, the vast majority of interaction that people have with the college is through the classroom. And our academic programs are doing well and nice and strong. Last year, for example, despite several years of state budget cuts, we had the largest graduating class in history. So more graduates, less money. I think we're doing okay. Not a sign of a college that's being run badly.
Where is the search right now? Where does it stand for the new chancellor?
The search is still relatively in the early stages. We have identified a job description and placed ads for it, and the recruiter has gone out to a number of conferences to do preliminary meetings with potential candidates.
When do you hope to have a new chancellor on board?
We hope to have the new chancellor on board before July of next year. We'd like to have a few months overlap for transition, but that may or may not be possible.
You know, getting back to the situation with some of those negative stories, there was this indication that morale is so bad at the college. Do you see that, or what do you see?
I see a mix, and I think that's the thing that I would really like everybody to remember, is that institutions are a mix and people are a mix. and even your board chair is a mix. We have our own abilities and our own perspectives on things, and Chancellor Flores, for example, was extraordinary at analyzing the institution and how to get the most out of it. But he was not good at PR. He was not good at making nice with the various community groups. Bob Jensen, on the other hand, was very good with the community. But I think the previous chancellor.
Yeah.
But I don't think he did as well in terms of operational excellence. There are complaints that the chancellor was too rough. I remember a conversation with one of our former beloved administrators named Greg Hart, who was in charge of adult education. He and I had a conversation about it one day where I asked him, you know he's rougher than you guys are used to, but I need to know how rough. Tell me. And he said, Scott, the college, for the first time, is running on all eight cylinders, but it's unpleasant. Now, I'm an engineer. So when I hear running on all eight cylinders for the first time versus unpleasant, which of those am I going to take? You know, there's unpleasant and then there's horrible, you know. At no point did people say it was horrible. In subsequent conversations, he said it was rough, but, you know, I'm used to kind of the soft, squishy communication that I think educators do, and I'm sure that'll get me in a lot of trouble right now. But... You know, but as an example, in sometime in 2004, 2005, the Arizona Community College Association put out a paper on how community colleges were the solution to a lot of the problems facing the state. And the interesting thing about that paper was the conclusions weren't at the front, like in an executive summary, and they weren't in the back. They were in the middle. You know, come on, guys. Hammer it in the beginning, hammer it in the middle, and hammer it at the end. Sometimes that's what it takes to get through.
Scott Stewart is with us. He's the chair of the Pima Community College Governing Board. So this is really an important hire, this new chancellor. So you mentioned Chancellor Flores, Chancellor Jensen. So what your ideal candidate, you as an individual, what do you think? What are you looking for?
What I'm hoping for,
or hoping,
not necessarily expecting,
yeah,
is somebody who has all the serious economic analysis capability that Roy had with a kinder, gentler personality that can work well with the various elements in the community. And that's going to be a tough mix to find.
Talking a little bit about academics, there have been some very interesting developments concerning the Pima Community College offering an option to speed up pursuit of an associate's degree. I mean, that's good news for students.
Yes. I personally think that's a good idea.
It's called a sprint schedule.
Because I think everybody needs to be taking their education more seriously, and we need to provide ways to get people in and out sooner. The University of Phoenix model and the Pima Medical Institute model of classes that are not lined up on a traditional semester break, I think, are all very good ideas. Anything to help people get through faster is a good plan, provided there's still the academic rigor. You know, we're going back on the tarnishing of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
You'll recall that in 2011, we did something very controversial, and that was we increased our standards for taking college credit classes and getting financial aid.
Very controversial. Very
controversial for in this town, anyway, to all of, you know, demonstrated seventh grade capability. And that really caused the uproar, and that is what caused a lot of people to coalesce into a single opposition group. And everything that has come out since then has largely been led by this opposition group, and the timing of the release of information, things that could have come out years ago, now coming out this year in this election year, and with an attempt to repeal those standards.
But the standards are in effect, right?
Yes, they are.
And how is it going?
So far, the results are encouraging. We're able to provide that individual help to the smaller number of students who show up because without financial aid, people aren't using it just to get financial aid anymore. They're there to boost their academic skills to the point where they can actually get in a college credit class.
Okay, Scott Stewart, we will visit with you again as the search continues for a new chancellor. And again, if folks would like to come out to that event on Friday afternoon, 3:30 to 5 at the Sam Lena South Tucson Library branch on South 6th Avenue, this is your opportunity to voice your feelings about Pima. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
1220 on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of Buckmaster presented by our friends at Splendido, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better. Now's your chance to get an up-close and personal tour of Splendido. The Showcase of Homes event is this upcoming Tuesday, October 30th, starting at 9 a.m. Please call 762-4090 to RSVP, 762-4090. Say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Tomorrow is the annual Idea Funding event, which was launched 15 years ago and is aimed at helping budding entrepreneurs hone their skills at attracting investment by thrusting them in front of real-life investors. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Larry Hecker. Mr. Hecker, a Tucson-based corporate attorney and co-founder and organizer of Idea Funding, which will be held tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 6 at the Marriott Tucson University Park Hotel. Larry, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks, Bill.
Well, it's good to talk with you again. And how many companies will be pitching their ideas in something, I guess, that you could compare to the American Idol of entrepreneurship?
Yeah. Well, right now I believe we have about 25 companies, and we're still signing up a few, and they'll be ready to go tomorrow at 3:15, which is when the pitches start, although the event kicks off at 1.
How do the pitches work, Larry?
Well, the entrepreneur, either the person who's about to start a company or who started their company, will have 3 minutes to present their idea to a panel of investors. Following that, the investors will give them some feedback, what they did well, what they could improve. That round will take an hour, and we'll have 4 separate rooms, and the company that's deemed to be the top one in each of the rooms will go on to the championship round, to the pitch-off, and there'll be a different panel of investors that will hear their presentations, 5 minutes this time instead of 3 minutes, and out of that will come the grand champion, which will have the opportunity to present to the Desert Angels at dinner tomorrow night, and there'll be some other prizes and awards given to the other finalists.
The Desert Angels is a local group of qualified private equity investors, and that's kind of the reward for the top pitch, really, to go before these people and get their backing. Have there been some success stories over the last 15 years, Larry?
There have been. There have been a few companies that we can identify that are alumni of Idea Funding that have taken the information that they've learned at Idea Funding and used it to and either enhance their business or start their business.
Can you tell us a little bit about the type of businesses that are pitching?
For the most part, they're early stage. In some instances, entrepreneurs who haven't launched yet, but they're getting ready to. There are some more development stage as well. But it's primarily the early stage company that's seeking their first round of real financing. They've already gone through friends and family and their credit cards, and now they're looking for some sophisticated, larger amounts of an outside investment.
Since Idea Funding was first held, the economy, of course, took a big nosedive. How did that impact the entrepreneurship?
Well, in some ways, it strengthened it because I think it caused us to focus on the need to stabilize our economic base and create companies that provide a skilled workforce, transferable skills. I think part of it is just the need to have a much stronger economic industrial base with companies that can sustain shortcomings in the economy, and that's the focus. And we realize that with the University of Arizona, with all the research that's taking place, that we've got many resources that perhaps we're not utilizing as effectively as we could.
You know, they get 3 minutes, Larry, in this what you could call kind of a rocket pitch What makes a good pitch?
Well, I think it's answering three basic questions. Why? You know, why is what you're saying important? Why you? You know, why are you the ones who should pursue this opportunity? And why now? Stimulate interest based upon those three questions. It's pretty much that simple.
When you started this, Larry, did you get this idea from? Had other cities tried this, or is this something that's been unique to our area?
You know, I'm sure other cities do something similar, but this is a pretty unique Tucson event. We've tailored it to our needs, to our resources, to our abilities, and we've tried to put on programs that are really meaningful to our local economy and our workforce.
You know, people have not, for folks that have not heard of this Desert Angels group, tell us a little bit about them.
Well, as you said, Desert Angels is a group of sophisticated investors that meet on a regular basis, and they hear presentations from companies that are seeking outside capital. Most of the companies are technology-based, knowledge-based, and the organization over the years has been able to provide quite a bit of funding to companies seeking capital. And not only do they bring capital, but the members of the organization might be serial entrepreneurs themselves or experienced business people, and they can bring some mentoring and some advice that's also important to the startup or early stage company.
Do you have any? How do you see the biosciences doing right now? And are some of these people that are pitching, are they associated with bioscience?
Very strong. Bioscience is a very strong. In fact, I think there was a report out last week from the National Angel Capital Organization that showed that the Desert Angels was in the top 10 nationwide in terms of the number of deals and the amount of funding that was provided to bioscience companies.
People complain a lot about Tucson's economic environment, but without this kind of funding that goes on for these entrepreneurs, we'd be in a lot worse shape, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. And you know, they say that this is a three-legged stool. You need the idea, you need the technology or the knowledge, you need the skilled workforce, the management, but you also need the money. And we're lucky in Tucson in that we have a tremendous inventory of ideas and technology. We've got a skilled workforce, and I think we're developing the third requirement, access to capital.
Larry Hecker talking with us. We're talking about the IDEA funding event tomorrow, which gets underway at the Marriott Tucson University Park Hotel. Can folks show up and pay a small admission and get in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We encourage them to do so. Not only do we have the pitch rounds, but we've got a roundtable discussion to answer the question why. You know, why is entrepreneurship important to our economy and our community? We've got a venture capitalist, an angel capital, and a representative from the Board of Regents on that panel. We also have a panel with the new head of Tech Launch Arizona, which is at the university, which is trying to find ways to commercialize the technology that exists at the university.
Okay, Larry Hecker, there'll be some very nervous people tonight, men and women who are going to be doing their pitches tomorrow. Larry, thanks a lot. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. At least two people have been killed in a shooting today in a suburb of Los Angeles. A Downey Fire Department spokesman says a shooting occurred around 11 this morning, and there were at least two deaths. He's unsure whether the shooting occurred at a business or at a nearby home, but two locations may be involved. An Algerian terrorist has been sentenced to 37 years in prison for plotting to bomb Los Angeles International Airport around the turn of the new millennium. The Taliban's reclusive leader says insurgents will step up the number of insider attacks on coalition and Afghan forces, which have resulted in the deaths of at least 52 troops so far this year. The Dow down 20 points, the Nasdaq off 6. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:34 on a Wednesday afternoon on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. And this portion of the program is brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. So much to do over there, especially how beautiful it is over this time of year on the Continental Divide Trail. You can go birding along the Gila River, or fish at Lake Roberts. Plenty of great places to stay, including Georgetown Cabins, Little Toad Creek Inn, and Spirit Canyon Lodge. To find out more about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, visit southwestnewmexico.org. This afternoon, we continue with our Buckmaster Show candidate series, which this series is winding down because in less than 2 weeks, it's election day. So today we are spotlighting the race for Arizona House of Representatives in District 10. 10 runs from Campbell Avenue in Tucson between Speedway and 22nd Street and opens up to the east, including the Sabino Canyon and Tanque Verde areas. This is a four-way race among two Republicans and two Democrats. The top two winners will get to go to Phoenix, to the state legislature, where two seats will be awaiting them. The candidates are Democrats Bruce Wheeler and Stephanie Mock, Republicans Ted Vogt and Todd Clodfelter. And Todd Clodfelter joins me now in studio. Todd, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
Well, it's our pleasure. It seems like all four of the candidates do agree that improving education is the key to the state's economic future. But where the difference comes, really, it's pretty much divided along party lines, is this need for a 1 cent sales tax in the form of Proposition 204.
That's correct, and I think you're right on that. Both sides of the parties want the same thing. We want to improve education in Arizona for all of our children. We owe it to them, and they certainly deserve it. Spending more money, though, is not always the answer. I think there's more to it to improve education than just throwing more money at the situation. I just recently had a debate with those four people, and one of the things I brought up was a chart that was presented by the Cato Institute, and it shows how education funding has grown exponentially, but unfortunately the grades or the improvement of the students has really not improved in relation to the expenditures. So the question is, what are we going to spend the money on, and how is spending money going to improve the education of the students? I think we need to ask different questions.
So one of your concerns would be about the legislature's control of our funding?
Yes, that's correct. The Proposition 204 mandates that a certain $900 million will go to, based on sales taxes, will go to education specifically, and that will be untouchable by the state legislature. And unfortunately, if we have another economic downturn, that'll be money that's mandated that be spent, and there's no way to then shift those funds away from education again, unfortunately, to be able to manage the state budget. So that is mandated money. Unfortunately, too, I believe in the bill it states that that has to be increased annually by 2%.
Todd Clodfelter is with us. He's a Republican. He's in a four-way race in Legislative District 10. The top two vote-getters will move on to Phoenix. So tell us a little bit about who you are and your background, Todd.
Well, Bill, I've been I call myself a near native because my grandparents moved here in 1961, and if I tell you that I was born in 57, that makes me about four. So I've lived in Tucson since 1970 permanently, so that's over 40 years. But again, with my grandparents visiting back and forth, I've lived here been here over 50 years. And I'm a small business owner for over 30 years on the east side.
What business do you...
My business is called Ace Graphics, and I print T-shirts. It's a screen printing business. We do everything from bumper stickers to signs, T-shirts, labels, all kinds of things.
But you've been politically active, but this is your first run for office. Is that correct?
Well, I actually ran for city council in 1995.
Oh, you did. That's right, in 95.
Yep. Yeah. I won because I lost.
Yeah. Okay. Other than the education issue, of course, everybody's talking about they want their people who are elected this time around to help the economic situation. How can you do that?
Well, the economy is that's a tough one, because what we really need to expand Arizona's economy is to make sure that we have a viable industry and commerce going on in Arizona, because industry and commerce is what's going to create jobs. If somebody tells you, a government official or a candidate says, we're going to create jobs, the only jobs they're going to create are government jobs. We need private sector jobs. We need good-paying jobs, career-paid jobs. We don't need the low-paying service-type industry jobs. We want people to come in here and have career career opportunity, and that gets back to education. But even with the education, you have to have the industry. The current legislature has made some changes that are really good for Arizona when it comes to bringing in industry. But unfortunately, those changes are available through the state, but we're limited somewhat in Pima County and by the city of Tucson. We are restricted more in this area than they are in other parts of the state. And in fact, Arizona has recently been identified as the number one state to start a new business in. So that tells you that something's going right for us.
District 10, there are approximately 111,000 registered voters in the district. Pretty evenly divided, Todd Cloudfelder. You've got 37% Democrats, 34% Republicans, and then there's that growing independent block, 29%.
Correct.
And when you're walking door to door, you're running into a lot of independents.
We do. Well, obviously about a third of them are independents.
And what are they saying? Are their needs or are their concerns any different, you think, than the party, the Republican and Democrats?
No, not really. Everybody really honestly wants the same thing as our opponents do. We want jobs. We need a good economy. We want good education. We want all these things. The reality is the philosophical difference of how to achieve those goals. The independents see the Republicans and the Democrats differently, and they want to kind of be up the middle so they can choose the person who best suits their personal values. And I think we're seeing a little bit more of a conservative side, people fiscally conservative. They're tired of seeing the money being misspent and things that are being addressed that are not really the major concerns of the community, which again is the economy and education.
The legislature has gone the route of privatization in many cases with our prison system. Is that the right way to go?
Well, I'm a free enterprise kind of guy, so I think that anytime you can let free enterprise handle things, it's a good way to go. I know that the competition is limited because we don't have a lot of people vying for to open prison space like a motel chain or something. But I think that we need to let free enterprise handle so much things because right now about every dollar that's spent, at least on the national level, is a borrowed 40% of it is borrowed money. And if we try to manage things through a bureaucratic government, unfortunately, there's a percentage of that that goes for just plain old management, whereas the free enterprise system, they have to keep everything on edge so they can make a profit.
As far as a rainy day fund and putting money aside, are you in favor of that?
Absolutely. We are uncertain about what the future brings for America. In January, things could shift if the Congress doesn't pass some extended tax benefits.
The so-called fiscal cliff.
That's it. And if they don't do that, then taxes are going to go up. People are going to there's a potential for another recession. And if Arizona doesn't stay somewhat solvent, we'll be right back in the same ditch that we were in 2 or 3 years ago.
Percentage-wise, you like the way they're budgeting it right now? I think it's about – I'm not sure exactly what is in the rainy day fund, but I think it's less than $1 billion, certainly.
Well, actually, I think they expected about a $400 million – I won't call it a surplus, but we'll say we're operating in the black at $400 million. But it actually turned out, because the economy has improved, as we've identified, it's actually up to about $800 million.
Okay.
But you've got to remember – even though the budget is balanced, we are still in Arizona $2 billion in debt. So spending that money away.
And a mortgage on our state capital, right?
That is correct. So we want to get that paid off as quickly as possible. But we got to keep some money aside for the bad days.
Okay, Todd Cloudfelder, where can folks find out more about you and your campaign?
My website is available. It is TC4AZ.com. That's TC4AZ.com. And you can certainly call me anytime on the phone number that's listed on the website. And if I don't answer the phone myself, I'll certainly call you right back.
Todd, thanks a lot. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. A depression and evolution study is raising a lot of eyebrows. The study is co-authored by Dr. Charles Raison, associate professor with the University of Arizona College of Medicine's Department of Psychiatry and associate professor of integrative mental health. Writing in an article in the Atlantic Monthly Online, Dr. Raison concludes, significant data suggests that at least some depressive symptoms actually may help people avoid infection or survive it when it occurs. Dr. Raison joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Doctor, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, it seems like as we learn more about the human genome, scientists are finding evidence that while depression seems incredibly destructive, it was actually helpful to our ancestors. How so?
Well, you're right. Depression is incredibly destructive, and it may have always been destructive in many ways, but there's increasing evidence that if you look at folks, that even folks that are healthy, that are depressed, many of them have changes in their immune system. They've got a lot of activation of something we call inflammation, which are the chemicals in the brain and body that make people feel sick when they get infected. And those data were really the starting point for our investigation, so beginning looking at the question of whether or not that association of depression with increased inflammation, inflammation being essential for fighting infection, may provide some clues for why the genes for depression seem to be so common, and why depression itself seems to be so common, given how devastating it is in other ways, including ways that we know impede survival and reproduction. Right? So we know that in the modern world, at least, people with depression, they're not as likely to reproduce, they're not as likely to reproduce successfully, they're less fertile, their children do more poorly. So, you know, given how prevalent the disorder is, and given how prevalent many of the genes that we suspect underlie it are, you know, those genes would be removed long ago if they weren't doing something. And so, you know, we began to investigate, well, what could they be doing?
Depressive symptoms like social withdrawal, lack of energy, and a loss of interest in once enjoyable activities were actually advantageous to our ancestors. How would that be so, Dr. Raison?
Well, you know, it's hard to imagine how they could be hugely adaptive for even our ancestors socially. But everything you described, which is very common in people that are depressed, but also in people that are sick, all those symptoms can actually prevent, sort of protect people from death if they're infected, and from catching infections if they're not infected yet. So we know, for instance, that you know, when you contract a serious illness, what the body does is it redirects all of its energies, all of its resources to the immune system to try to kill the virus or the bacteria. When that happens, you actually become much more vulnerable to catching other illnesses. So one of the things we suggested in the paper is that if you look at the symptoms of depression, many of them are common with sickness, including things like fever. So it's not so well known that lots of folks with major depression have elevated body temperature. If you make a list of all these symptoms, they all have been shown to help humans and other organisms survive infection. And so the idea is that across human evolution, even minor advantages that were conferred consistently by depression activating these symptoms would help people survive infection.
And I was going to say, especially in children, how important that is.
Right. So, you know, what's fascinating, and I did not really understand this myself until we did this paper. What's fascinating is, you know, we know in traditional societies that kids are much more likely to die of infection than adults. In many places, 50% of children are dead by the year age two. We have two forms of immune systems. We have inflammation, which is very evolutionarily ancient. It's rapid acting, but it's not that effective. And then we have what's called acquired immunity, the type of immunity that's with B cells and T cells. That's the immune system that produces antibodies. It's so effective in helping us survive infections. That latter type of immunity does not really develop in humans until they're 2 or 3 years old. When little kids are, you know, first facing the world, really all they have to stand between them and early death in traditional societies or in earlier times was inflammation. And so, yes, you know, a clear prediction of some of the ideas in our paper is that heightened inflammatory activity, even if it produces depression later in life, would have very powerful positive selective pressures, because it would keep you from dying when you were a little baby, and that's, in fact, when most of the dying happened. So, yes, another way of why these hyperinflammatory states that we see in depression that we know can produce depression may have been adaptive across human evolution.
So, Dr. Raison, is a little bit of perhaps mild depression advantageous to the modern human being?
Well, you know, what's interesting is, no, there's not really much data that's the case. I mean, there have been other evolutionary theorists who have tried to argue that there's certain social advantages to mild depression. But one of the sort of paradoxes that got us asking, well, why are the genes for depression so common, is the fact that even mild depression really impairs people's ability to function. It impairs their relationships. It reduces their status in the world. It negatively impacts the functioning of their children. Mild depression, there's very, very little to recommend it. You know, and one of the things that we have to keep in mind when we think about the ideas in the paper, this idea that the genes that promote depression may have been retained in the genome because they induced inflammatory processes that have helped humans survive infection. That chain of logic was very, very relevant to survival until about 60, 70 years ago. But in industrialized societies, much of the work that was once done by inflammation is now done by hygiene, by medicine, by public health, by flush toilets. So we've got this sort of tragic paradox in the modern world that we're still burdened with brain and immune pathways that really have these hyperactive inflammatory responses at exactly a place in our history when we need them less than ever. Much of the work that inflammation once did has been outsourced, if you will, to all these human inventions. And so one of the things we suggest in the paper is that, unfortunately, in places like the United States, we're still getting all the negative benefits or the negative consequences of these ancient, evolved inflammatory pathways, and we're not really getting much of the benefits anymore. And just by way of contrast, there was a fascinating study done a few years ago in Ghana, a country where about half the country people have clean drinking water and low rates of infection. Half the country, they have polluted drinking water and very high rates of infection. And just as you'd predict from what I'm saying, when they looked at the ability of people to produce cytokines, to produce inflammation, people that lived in high infected areas lived longer if they produced a lot of inflammation. On the other hand, it was exactly the opposite for people that lived in cleaner environments. There, if they produced higher levels of inflammation, they died sooner. And of course, that's what we see in the modern world. And the reason is because, you know, if you're at very grave risk of dying from infection, inflammation keeps you alive. If you're no longer at risk for dying from infection, then all you're going to do is pay the price of the inflammation, and that's diabetes, heart disease, and depression.
It's a fascinating study, and your co-author was Dr. Andrew Miller,
yep,
a physician at Emory University. We're speaking with Dr. Charles Raison from the University of Arizona. This was published in Atlanta Monthly, the paper, The Evolutionary Significance of Depression in Pathogen Host Defense. There was also a separate study, and we're quickly running out of time, but this has to do with treating patients with difficult-to-treat depression,
yes,
with a novel drug. Can you give us the bottom line on that,
sure,
please?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, all these data suggest that as a group, depressed people have increased inflammation. So we decided a number of years ago to, quote, you know, sort of put our money where our mouth was and test whether blocking inflammation would work as an antidepressant. So we took healthy folks with difficult-to-treat depression, half of them got salt water, half of them got a very powerful blocker of inflammation. And then we looked to see what it did to their depressive symptoms, and what we found was that overall, blocking inflammation had no effect, but there was a very striking relationship with how inflamed people were before they started the study. The anti-cytokine blocker worked as an antidepressant in depressed people that had elevated inflammation. It did not work at all in depressed people with low levels of inflammation. In fact, it seemed to be counterproductive. So the take-home point is that there are a subgroup of depressed people who run their inflammatory levels high. Blocking inflammation may be a novel antidepressant strategy for those people. On the other hand, there's other depressed people that don't have evidence of increased inflammation. Blocking inflammation in them may actually make things worse because at very low levels, these inflammatory chemicals may have beneficial effects.
Dr. Raison, Dr. Charles Raison from the University of Arizona, fascinating information. Thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our friends at Culligan Water, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We drink Culligan Water here at KVOI and on the Buckmaster Show. Fantastic water. It just simply tastes better, and I'm also drinking the Culligan water at home. So home and in the studio, we recommend Culligan. It just simply tastes better. This afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show coming up from 4 to 5 here on KVOI. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow, the Thursday edition, 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, featuring Tucson firefighters, the Chili Cook-Off, which is coming up Friday in downtown Tucson. Also, State Representative
Ted Vogt will be a guest. He is seeking re-election in District 10. That's tomorrow on the Wake Up Tucson show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.